All right, good to be back with you Monday, January 23rd. You're listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, brought to you by Geico tonight, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. I'm Kyle Seeloff, our producer this evening. Roy Perez is with us as well. And we've got an exciting show for you tonight, another jam-packed hour from 7 to 8. In just a minute, I'll have for you my conversation with Marlins infielder and utility man, Derek Dietrich. He was working out at the ballpark last week, so we had a little bit of time to sit down and chat. Other than that, the newest member of the Fox Sports Florida team this season, former Marlin, a 2003 world champion, Todd Hollinsworth, will join us. We'll check in with Michael Hill after the Marlins traded with the Cincinnati Reds last Friday. And to wrap things up tonight, a special conversation courtesy of the MLB Network with one of the newest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame, a former Marlin who secured one of the greatest victories in franchise history. We'll hear from first ballot Hall of Famer Ivan Pudge Rodriguez coming up shortly. Before I get to my interview with Derek Dietrich, incredibly sad news that in a way really hit home yesterday after we learned of the deaths of Kansas City Royals starting pitcher Yordano Ventura and former big leaguer Andy Marte. Marte just 33, Ventura just 25. Both killed in separate automobile accidents down in the Dominican Republic. So just wanted to take a moment and pass along our deepest condolences to their families, their respective organizations. Just an awful, awful day in the world of Major League Baseball yesterday. And it's accidents such as those, or any of them for that matter, that really rock you. But again, our condolences to their loved ones this evening and moving forward as we approach spring training. On a lighter note tonight, let's get right to it, into the program. Our first guest of the evening, Marlins utility man, an infielder, an outfielder, who was ever so kind enough to sit down inside the Marlins clubhouse with us last week and pick apart his 2016 and what to expect this coming season in 2017. This is Derek Dietrich. All right, hanging out with Derek Dietrich, the super utility man for the Marlins. Derek, always good to see you. Happy New Year. How's the offseason going? What have you been up to?
Happy New Year to you, and yeah, the offseason's been going very well. You know, I've been seeing some of the guys. I've been in the Palm Beach Gardens area right near our spring training complex in Jupiter, and just been training, working hard, and getting myself ready for another great season.
Did you have a little time to yourself, able to take a little time off before you got ramped up again?
Yeah, I always take at least a few weeks off to let the body and the mind rest and just recover from the season, and then I get right back to it. You know, always eager to get on the field and get in the weight room and just work on all aspects of my game. So it's been a great offseason so far.
Well, let's chat a little baseball. First, second, third, left field, a designated hitter. It's hard enough to play one position in the big leagues and be successful and do it for a decade plus. How hard has it been for you, Derek, to play multiple positions and to try to be great at multiple positions?
Well, at first, it was obviously challenging just learning some of the new positions. But, you know, as far as the infield goes, I've always been an infielder. Came up as a shortstop. Obviously played most of my games at second base in the big leagues. But when you have someone like Perry Hill, our infield coach and first base coach, you know, he really makes it as easy as possible. You're really breaking it down to the fundamental aspect of, you know, defense and always having you in the right position. So on the infield, you know, I've really felt comfortable and natural all over there. And then, you know, in the outfield, just really letting my athleticism take over and, you know, just getting the good reads and, you know, catching the ball, getting it in, hitting the cutoff, man, really just keeping it simple and you know, just out there to help in any way I can and get my bat in the lineup. That's, you know, that's what my main goal is.
Probably a good time to ask now, how important is Perry Hill to what you do and your ability to not only stay in the big leagues but be successful?
Yeah, day in and day out. Perry is a very, very hard worker. We call him Bone, and you know, because he works like a dog, man. He gets his guys ready. He works every single day diligently, preparing us not only with the fundamentals but also with the approach and the positioning for each and every hitter in every lineup that we face. And you know, the preparation is second to none. And that really, along with, you know, his little fundamentals and his mechanics of the defense of alignment and everything, that's really the key to our success when we are out there playing defense.
Parts of four big league seasons, 128 games in the big leagues for you last season, bar none, the most amount of time you've spent in the big leagues.
do you feel like you're finally starting to get your feet underneath you? Or have you always felt comfortable, even when you were up and down?
Yeah, you know what? I've played this game a long time. You know, this is the major league level and the cream of the crop. But, you know, it is the same game I've played my entire life. And, you know, I've never felt uncomfortable out on the field. Just learning the aspects of what it takes to be a major leaguer, what it takes to play different positions, to be ready every day for each and every opportunity that presents itself, and just giving myself a chance to help the club in the best way possible. And, you know, I felt like I've done a great job of that throughout my four seasons in major leagues. And, you know, I feel like I'm always improving and I'm always getting better. And, you know, that's at the end of the day, that's what I want to do, trend in the right direction.
How important is time in the amount of time that you spend in the big leagues? You have to learn the league. It's not easy to come in if you're 22 years old. You've never seen these guys before. You have all the video in the world, but you got to have time. You've probably been able to learn a little bit about the league by this point.
Absolutely. You know, everybody that's in the major leagues is talented. Even in the minor leagues, in the upper levels, everyone has talent, physical talent, even mental talent. But nothing really compares to the experience, the at-bats, the games played. That's really the only way that you're going to improve as a player, by playing more. And that's it with anything you do, but especially at this level. So, you know, every year that I've played more and more, played at more positions, have gotten more at-bats, more opportunities, I've just gotten better. And you know, my numbers prove it. And I'm just looking for more and more opportunity, because I know and I'm very confident that I can continue to help this team win, and in all aspects, in all facets, whatever position it is.
I know we ask you sometimes in the regular season after a game, we don't have much time, but now that we have some extended time, the amount of times you get hit by pitches, Derek, and it's always something funny, and it's wild to observe. 24 times last season, you led the league in hit by pitches. First and foremost, broad question, but why? Why is it that you get hit by so many pitches?
I don't move, honestly. You know, you have opportunities to get out of the way, and it's not that I necessarily stand very close to the plate or that I'm looking to get hit by pitches. If the ball comes into my vicinity, I have my right to stand my ground, and you know, if I get hit, I get hit. And getting on base is huge, especially for OPS, on base percentage, but more importantly for when I'm hitting ahead of guys like Stanton and Ozuna and Justin Bour, guys like that. When they can change the game in one swing of the bat, you know, I want guys on base when I'm hitting, and I know they appreciate it when I'm on base. So, you know, it's an opportunity. And like I said, I like to take advantage of every opportunity that's presented to me. So when a guy throws one too far inside, you know, I'll wear it for the team each and every single time, and I'm proud of it.
How do you mentally get yourself to a place where you're okay with getting hit by a 96-mile-an-hour fastball in the back? Obviously, you have very, very little time to react. But out of all seriousness, it's a human instinct to get out of the way. It's not a rubber ball. You know, it's a baseball. So how do you keep it there?
Well, mentally, I've kind of prepared myself to know. And I know, obviously, you never want to risk injury where you're going to miss time. And
you have missed games before, obviously.
Yeah,
you've gotten dinged up a little bit.
Yeah, just the first time this year, unfortunately, I got hit in the outside of the knee, and that bugged me for a little bit. But, you know, other than that one, I haven't missed too much time for a hit by pitch. So, you know, I think about it as I'm always looking for a chance to help the team, and that does help the team. And sometimes it does hurt, but you know what? I take care of myself so well physically, and I prepare and I recover is the best I can with our training staff and everything that we have in place. So, you know, it's definitely a mental and physical kind of approach to it that, you know, as long as I can continue to help the team, you know, I'll probably keep getting hit by pitches. But, you know, you never want to get injured and you never want to miss time. So, you know, if that ever comes to it, you know, I'll have to make a smart decision. But, you know, for the time being, it's just part of the game. And, you know, it's a way to get on base and help the team.
Little two-part question here. The area of your game you think most improved last year would be what?
Oh, that's probably absolutely. I felt like I hit more consistently than ever. Obviously, my average was the best it's ever been, but, you know, I felt like I competed and I battled every single at-bat that I was in there, you know, just trying to just compete. Be it, you know, you're not going to get, you're going to get out. I mean, it happens. Obviously, 7 out of 10 times and you're a Hall of Famer still in this game after a long career. But I just felt like I gave the pitcher a tough and competitive at-bat almost every single time out there. And that's really the goal. And if I continue to keep doing that, my numbers will continue to get better and better and better. And so just my relentlessness up there at the plate, my competitiveness, and just my focus, you know, all led to stronger numbers offensively.
We see the power. We know you've got the power. Do you worry about it? Do you go up there in certain situations, you know, looking to bang one off the wall, looking to hit one out of here? What do you your the portion of your power game?
In terms of power, I think you saw two kind of different examples of a hitter that I can be in the kind of adjustments I can make. Obviously, early on, for those first 3 or 4 months when I was filling in for D, you know, I was getting on base, getting my hits, and just putting the ball in play as much as possible, you know, maybe not hitting for quite as much power that I have in the past, but you know, I was doing what was asked of me, and then later on when I was coming off the bench or playing multiple roles there at the end, you know, my power showed back up and I was hitting home runs off the bench in pinch hit situations and driving the ball, and so that just kind of, just like I am versatile, you know, out there on defense, I can play multiple positions. I can you know, play every day off, you know, and get on base and get my hits. I can hit for power off the 7th, 8th, 9th inning guys. You know, so I take pride in that I can adjust, you know, not only defensively but offensively as well. So
You've become a super utility guy within the organization. You've been able to play a lot of different positions. With that being said, you've got to work your tail off every day at whatever position it may be. So what portion of your game do you hope to most improve on heading into 2017 and the spring for that matter?
You know what, when you think of that, and you know, I don't think about it in negative terms when you say super utility, but I believe and I'm confident in myself that I'm an everyday major league player, whether it be second base, third base, heck, even left field. So really my goal and where I want to continue to prove is I want to play every single day, and I believe that I have the skills and the tools necessary, and you know, that's really my goal, because you know, I can help the team every single day, and I want to do it every single day. So my area that I want to improve is I want to be out there every single day.
Let me ask you this about spring training then. In years past, you've been a guy that, well known, you got to battle to be one of the 25 guys in the clubhouse. Not to say that doesn't hold true this year, because you always got to work your tail off to prove that you belong every single, but knowing that your role, and obviously you aspire to be an everyday guy, and in time that'll come, of course, but do you feel like this spring you might be able to work on areas of your game that you may not have been able to past spring simply because you were fighting so hard for a roster spot of sorts? Little things here and there that it's okay if I struck out, but I was working on something type of deal?
Well, you're always working and you're always competing, and you know what, I think a big mistake would be to let off the gas, so to speak. I'm always competing. I'm never satisfied, and I'm always thinking about how can I get better and how can I improve. So that not at any point will I, you know, turn down the knob or let off the gas and say, hey, I've earned this now, because you have to earn it every single day, because if you don't, this game will humble you and, you know, someone else will be playing. So, you know, going into spring training, I'm going to treat it as business as usual. I'm looking to get better every single day. I'm looking to compete because, like I said, I want to play every single day for this club, and I know that there's an opportunity there that can present itself. So I'm going to treat it as such, and I'm going to be ready every day to compete for that position.
Just a couple more minutes with Derek Dietrich here on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Derek, off-season acquisitions. I ask you this. I ask Christian Yelich. It's always unique to get your perspective of guys that are now going to be your teammates. You have seen Edinson Volquez. You've seen Dan Straley, the newly acquired Dan Straley from Cincinnati. You face Brad Ziegler. You don't have a ton of at-bats against a lot of those guys. Tell me what you know about them, maybe even a guy like Ziegler, the submarine style, Volquez. You've seen these guys. What kind of report you got on these guys?
Sure. Well, Ziegler obviously brings a different dimension or approach to pitching. Obviously, he's a little unorthodox in his delivery, and he's been around for a long time, so you know, he's got that veteran experience, and you know, he's got another impactful arm in the bullpen that can really provide us some quality innings, you know, late in the game. So, you know, happy to have a guy like him. Edison Volquez, obviously proven to be a frontline starter. He's got tremendous stuff and ability. He works quick, just like, you know, the defense likes. It looks like he's very personal, has that personality on the mound. And another guy that's proven, you know, to win and pitch in big situations, World Series and type things like that. And Dan Straley, you know, playing Cincinnati a couple times every season. So I've seen him. I know he's very versatile. He can pitch, you know, make some starts here and there, and he can pitch out of the pen, be your long man. So, you know, obviously we've added some quality arms this offseason to our bullpen, which will do nothing but benefit us in the long run and throughout the season. So, you know, we're really happy, and we're solid with our core and our group of position players. So, you know, adding these quality arms is going to do nothing but benefit us in the long run. And I firmly believe that this is going to be our best season yet. I have no doubt, but we're going to get better.
On the way out the door here, a light note. Derek, you had that walk-off last year. There's an audible gasp. Jersey gets ripped off. The people are going crazy. Now there's a nationwide calling. It needs to happen once a month. You loved it, though, didn't you? You loved it. Come on. It takes a lot of hard work.
Well, you know what? I work hard, and I work my tail off, you know, not only physically but mentally. And, you know, to have that moment with my teammates, just, you know, mentally, you know, I was coming off of a little bit of a tough stretch, and be able to be put in that situation and help win a ball game for the team is, you know, just, that's an awesome opportunity, an awesome moment that I got to share, you know, with my teammates. And then obviously the theatrics of it and everything that came with it is, you know, just.
Kohler said he wouldn't be surprised if there's a mural somewhere. You loved it. Said
yeah.
You loved it.
Kohler's always got something to say about, you know, about something like that. So, you know, I'll let him have his fun. But I don't know if there's a mural up, or I can't guarantee that it won't happen again. We'll have to see. So come out to the games, and we'll look forward to it.
Derek, you're the man. Thanks so much for the time. We'll catch you up in Jupiter in just a couple weeks.
Appreciate it. Go Fish.
All right. A big thank you to Derek Dietrich, a terrific guy. Always appreciate his time. And we are most importantly looking forward to what he'll bring to the table for the Marlins in 2017. Coming up next, look who's on the table. Look who's coming to town. Former Marlin, Pudge Rodriguez, can now say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. We'll hear from the man who secured one of the greatest victories in Marlins history. Next, right here on your home for Marlins Baseball, 940 Wins. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, brought to you by Geico, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. With you until 8 o'clock tonight, I'm Kyle Seeloff. Our producer, Roy Perez, is with us as well. Stay around, because coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll be chatting with former Marlin Todd Hollinsworth, one of the newest members of the Miami Marlins broadcast team on Fox Sports Florida, and later a brief and quick 5-minute interview with Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, who was kind enough to chat about the Marlins' recent acquisition of starting pitcher Dan Straley. That took place last Friday, so we'll kind of dissect that a little bit, who went where, and obviously the player in which the Marlins are getting in Dan Straley, coming off a career year for the Cincinnati Reds in that fan box, a hitter's park last season, 2016. What about right now, you may ask? Well, this might be a nice little segue.
And the Marlins are one out away from winning. They lead 7-6 here in the ninth with two outs, and Hammond steps in, one out of three with a walk today. Urbina deals. A line drive out into left field, breaking in. Conine can't get to it. Up with it, the runner's Wade. Here's the throw to the plate. Pudge is waiting. He tags him, gets knocked over, holds on, and the Marlins win the game. What a play to end it. A bruising collision at home plate to end this as Jeff Conine throws out J.T. Snow at home plate. And it's the Marlins who have beaten the Giants 7-6, and they're headed to the National League Championship Series. The Marlins out onto the field, and a wild scene down on the playing surface. Pandemonium touched off as the Marlins raced out there, and they have finished off the Giants in the division series. And over 65,000 fans have gone wild here at Pro Players Stadium.
Our very own Dave Van Horn along the Marlins radio network. Pudge Rodriguez hung on to Jeff Conine's throw after getting run over by the Giants as J.T. Snow. That would secure the National League Divisional Series victory en route to the Marlins' 2003 World Series championship run. And now on the resume of Pudge Rodriguez, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Along with Tim Raines and Jeff Bagwell, Rodriguez will be enshrined into the Hall of Fame this summer. And shortly after his election into the Hall, Pudge chatted with MLB Network.
Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, and Ivan Pudge Rodriguez. They are the new 2017 Hall of Fame class. The induction ceremony taking place this summer in Cooperstown. And we are pleased to be joined now by Pudge Rodriguez, who joins us now from Globe Life Park. Pudge, it's Fran Charles alongside John Smoltz and Bill Ripken. Congratulations. What does this Hall of Fame honor mean to you?
Well, it means a lot. You know, I think it's a dream come true. I think that's everybody's, every player's dream, just to be in the Hall of Fame, especially being there in July. And it's an honor. I think I want to say thanks to all the writers to select me this year as the first ballot Hall of Famer, which is, you know, is even an honor for me just to be in the Hall of Fame for the first time. You know, just the first year being in there, to me is great and can't wait. You know, I want to congratulate also all the other players that I was in the list, which is they deserve to be there in the Hall of Fame. Especially a good friend of mine, Vladimir Guerrero, which he was very close, but well, he's going to be there next year for sure. But, you know, Jeff Bauer, play against him, great player. Tim Raines, very good friend, deserved to be there. But can't wait to see them tomorrow night.
All right. Pudge, you and Johnny Bench are the only catchers to be elected on the first ballot. When you look back at your 21-year career, what stands out to you? What are you most proud of that you were able to accomplish?
I think to me is my defensive part of the game. That's what I take the most proud about. You know, I just, you know, just throwing guys out, blocking balls, try to call a great game and make the pitcher feels comfortable with me behind the plate. I think offensive, you know, came a little bit later on in my career, and I still have a great career as an offensive player. But defensive was my main part of the game, and especially throwing guys out in bases.
Hey, Pudge, Bill Ripken here. Congratulations.
Thank you, Bill. You mentioned your
defense. I had the luxury of hanging out in the middle of the infield and catching some of your throws on some of the said B base stealers. But I want to ask you a question about your arm and what people probably don't know. I've never seen a catcher, or a position player for that matter, throw as much as you did. I remember early in spring training, you're throwing in the drills, because that's when we used to take infield a lot too. You're throwing off the bump, you're acting like a pitcher, you're taking ground balls strong. You never stop throwing, so I wondered, why didn't your arm ever get tired or hurt?
Well, sometimes I was abusing my little bit of my arm. I'm doing some crazy stuff that I was a little dangerous, things that I did, but it ended up being okay. But I think to me, preparation, anticipate, and trying to anticipate the play before the plays happen, and just try to set up my feet. I think the bottom line for me, my whole career was not try to rush my throws. Just try to stay in balance and try to make my routine to throw the ball to second base. You know, as you know, we played together before, and one of my main focus was to throw the ball to the second, you know, to the second base side of the base. And to me, that was, you know, I did that. I take a lot of pride working early, come to the ballpark and do that earlier, and be is I was end up to do a good job doing that.
Pudge, this is John, and I, you know, thank God you have 6 months. When they told me,
I don't want to face you anymore, okay?
But thankfully, you'll have 6 months to prepare for a life-changing event. You kind of answered my question, but one of the things I'm always intrigued about catchers is the balance between offense and catching and defense. How did you adjust, and how did you work at both areas? Because you were an elite catcher, both offensively and defensively. You just said your pride was defensively. How did you work and multitask behind what I think is one of the toughest positions to play in baseball?
Well, it was very difficult to me, John. I mean, to me, I was a competitor. I loved to win every day, and I wanted to do both sides of the game the right way every day. But sometimes you have to understand my position is two different jobs. You know, you have to leave your bats in the dugout and in the club in the dugout and come to defense. And I think it takes me a few years to do that. But later on in my career, I realized then that I got two jobs to do: is been, you know, just working on my pitching staff, try to make my pitching staff feels comfortable with me behind the plate, do my job behind the plate, and then when it's my time to get my at-bats, you know, just try to do what I can do, and I was able to have a great career offensively and defensively, John.
It's got a great sound to it. I'm sure first ballot Hall of Famer, Pudge Rodriguez. We'll let you go because we know you got to hop on a plane. You're going to be at MLB Network on Thursday, so we'll let you go.
I know. I will see you guys soon.
Ah, terrific. A first ballot Hall of Famer, Pudge Rodriguez. You got to have 75% of the vote. He got 76. Tim Raines, a long overdue induction into the Hall of Fame, receives 86% of the vote. And Jeff Bagwell, 86.2% of the vote. Bagwell, Raines, Rodriguez, 2017 Hall of Fame inductions. They'll be headed to Cooperstown in July.
When baseball's out of season, we talk about it.
So in a way, baseball's never out of season.
Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seelock.
940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight on 940 Wins, brought to you by Geico. That's where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Last Friday, the Marlins swung a deal that brought Dan Straley to Miami. Straley comes from Cincinnati. The Marlins, in return, sent Austin Bryce and Luis Castillo, among others, to Cincinnati. This morning, I had an opportunity to chat with Michael Hill over the phone in regards to the move. Here's what he had to say. Hey, chatting with Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, right here on the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight. Mike, thanks for joining us. As always, late last week, you guys swing a deal for Major League starting pitcher Dan Straley. If you would be ever so kind to do so, take us through the trade, how it came to fruition, and then obviously both sides of it. Again, parting with some of your minor league talent, some of your top minor league talent, but in return, you get a very capable big league starting pitcher.
Definitely, Kyle. Well, from our perspective, we had been looking for that controllable starting pitcher dating back to last season. You know, just a pitcher that we could grow with and one that we felt could, you know, fit into our rotation. So we had, you know, identified Straley a while back, and it just took some time before we were able to make the deal happen. But we were, you know, we were comfortable with what we were giving up. In Straley, we have a veteran pitcher with very high pitching IQ, as we say, and somebody who'll fit into our pitching mix and somebody we can grow with.
Mike, let's take a look at your starting rotation as it stands right now. Then obviously the additions of Edinson Volquez and Jeff Locke, now Dan Straley. Do you see six guys fighting for five starting spots pending health come spring training?
I would also throw Jose Urena into that mix, as well as Justin Nicolino and possibly Odrizmal Despaigne into that mix as well. You know, nine bodies. And what was always said is we never can have enough depth, and we know that firsthand with the number of starters we've used over the years. But I think as we looked at how we put our staff together, we wanted, you know, if it's not in our rotation, we wanted multiple inning guys into our pen. So any number of that combination that does not make our starting rotation, you know, the three you mentioned, Volquez, Locke, and Straley, to go along with Wan Chen and Adam Conley and Tom Kohler, and with Urena, Nicolino, and Despaigne, it gives you nine guys. Some of those guys have options, so they can be emergency call-up help for you at AAA, and others will probably transition to some role in the bullpen and give us an opportunity to shorten the game. You know, so those guys would be bridge guys to get the ball to the back end of our pen with the likes of Ramos and Phelps and Bearclaw and Ziegler and Tozawa.
Two more questions for Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, on the Hot Stove Show tonight. Okay, Mike, without divulging the rest of the offseason game plan, there's been a lot of talk about complementing Justin Bour at first with a right-handed bat off the bench. Is that still a need for you guys, or do you think you might go in-house with that?
Yeah, I mean, we've been out front and saying that we really want to challenge Justin Bour and give him an opportunity to be an everyday full-time first baseman and not the platoon type, and give him an opportunity like Christian Yelich, who plays against lefties and righties. And what we've discussed is, you know, with lefties, we think he can handle. We'll give him that opportunity. And then if it's a tougher lefty, you know, the Clayton Kershaws of the world, you might see JT Realmuto get some work at first base.
Hey, Mike, on the way out the doors here, I guess I wouldn't be doing my job correctly if I didn't ask. Obviously, a tragic day in Major League Baseball yesterday. I understand you have been in touch with the Kansas City Royals front office, their general manager. Not too sure where to go with that. Obviously, just another tragic day. You have been in touch with them. Can you shed any light into those conversations for us?
Obviously, an awful day for baseball where you'd lose young talent way too soon. But as soon as I heard word, I reached out to my counterpart in Kansas City, Dayton Moore, just to, you know, give him my condolences and thought, let him know he was in my thoughts and prayers, and let him know I was there for anything that he, you know, needed. And he called me shortly thereafter and just tried to give him some insight. You know, unfortunately, we had to deal with such a tragedy, you know, September 25th, and just, you know, walk him through some of the things that we went through and things that, you know, might be helpful in the healing process and, you know, dealing with such a tragedy.
Well, Mike, I hate to end on that note, but I do thank you for the time tonight. Best wishes over the course of the next couple of weeks, and we will see you at Jupiter at Roger Dean Stadium in just a few short weeks.
Outstanding, Kyle. Thank you very much.
All right, a little bit more on Dan Straley. Again, acquired by the Marlins last Friday, 28 years old, a native of Redlands, California. He was drafted by the Oakland Athletics in the 24th round of the 2009 draft. He debuted on August 3rd of 2012. And again, Straley coming off a career year with the Cincinnati Reds last season. So he debuted in 2012 with Oakland. He appeared in 7 games in 12, 27 games in 2013, where he went 10-8 with 27 starts, a 3.96 ERA. In 2014, he split time between the Athletics and the Cubs, a season in which he started 8 games, appeared in 14, a 6.75 ERA. In 2015, he was a Houston Astro. He appeared in just 4 games, 3 starts. But then again, folks, for a team that struggled in the Cincinnati Reds last season, boy, he really put it together. 14 wins, 8 losses, a .636 winning percentage, a .376 ERA, a complete season, 34 games, 31 starts, extremely reliable, 191 and a third innings for the Cincinnati Reds last season. So the Marlins certainly building that rotation up. Now, chatting with Michael Hill, I alluded to the fact that potentially 6 guys would be competing for 5 spots, that pending health as always. And Michael said, keep the guys, Adam Conley, Wei-Yin Chen, Tom Kohler, the additions of Jeff Locke, now Dan Straley, and Edinson Volquez. But he wasn't shy about throwing Odrysimer Despaigne into the mix, Jose Ureña, and Justin Nicolino. As it pertains to Jose Ureña, we had chatted about this a couple of weeks ago. Here's a guy that's out of options. If he doesn't make the ball club out of camp, he would have to clear waivers. If he didn't clear waivers, inevitably he would be picked up by another ball club, and the Marlins would lose Jose Ureña. So it puts them in a tough position. Here's why. Let's say Jose Ureña has a mediocre spring. You have to make the decision whether you're going to keep him with a big club or risk losing him to another team. If they were to keep him and they were keeping him in fear of losing him, you might have an extra body in the bullpen. which would limit you on the bench, obviously, for Don Mattingly in the National League. Sometimes that isn't exactly conducive in regards to putting a full nine innings together. It can become a bit difficult when you're trying to go righty-lefty matchups late in the game. You got guys coming off the bench. You have a short bench. You only have four guys on the bench. So a lot to kind of pick apart and put together on that front. With that being said, though, the Marlins building a very, very strong bullpen, and what they're going to ask these starting pitchers to do and their starting staff, give us 5 to 6 solid innings, and we'll take it from there. Dustin McGowan, Junichi Tozawa, Brad Ziegler, A.J. Ramos. Of course, those guys cannot pitch 162 times, but you got the Kyle Bearclaws of the world. You got a lot of other capable guys out there in the bullpen. We'll see, too, Justin Nicolino, if maybe he starts to project more as a bullpen guy down the road. That's a lefty to be used out of the bullpen. A lot of different directions the Marlins could go out of the bullpen. As for the starting rotation, we can assure you, for the most part, obviously pending health, Wei Yin Chen, Tom Kohler, and Adam Conley are going to be part of that mix, as is Edinson Volquez. You would assume maybe Dan Straley now, after the year he put together in 2016, if he's healthy, would that potentially force Jeff Locke to the bullpen? If Locke and Nicolino were both out there, that would be two lefties. Maybe Nicolino still projects, per the baseball operations department, more as a starter. He would be down in AAA, and obviously if there was a need at some point in the season, maybe we would see Justin Nicolino as well. Again, it has been a fun show thus far. We just got about 10 minutes left. I apologize about having Todd Hollinsworth on. Every time we went to chat with him, we got disconnected. So if we are unable to get to him this evening, I promise you Todd Hollinsworth will be on the program next Monday. I will get that pre-recorded. I'll get that in the can, and we will have a 10 to 15, 20 solid minutes with Todd Hollinsworth, a 2003 World Series champion. He will join the program next week. I will make sure I have that for you guys. Very much looking forward to Rich Waltz and Todd Hollinsworth on the television for Fox Sports Florida this season. Again, joined by Jessica Blaylock, Craig Minervini. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll pick his brain a little bit. He was most recently with the Chicago Cubs. So I'd be curious to know, from what he saw inside of that clubhouse, how you build a world championship team and what the Marlins need to do here. And obviously that culture in Chicago on the north side, they brought a World Series championship back to Chicago and back to Wrigley Field for the first time in 100-plus years. So it should be a lot of fun to chat with him. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up right here tonight on your home for Marlins baseball, 940 Wins. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight on 940 Wins. As always, brought to you by GEICO. That's where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Again, thank you to Derek Dietrich for joining us this evening. Thank you to Michael Hill as well, always generous with his time to keep us up to date on everything happening inside the Marlins front office. Again, I apologize about Todd Hollinsworth. He will join us next Monday. I will assure you of that, and we'll have 15 spectacular minutes with Todd Hollinsworth, who joins the Fox Sports Florida television booth this season. Before we get going tonight, I'm going to use a couple of minutes here to chat a little bit more about the Hall of Fame. Still some timely stuff. Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, Ivan Pudge Rodriguez, a former Marlin and a 2003 World Series champion, all headed to Cooperstown this July of 2017. Here is Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, and Pudge Rodriguez in their Hall of Fame news conference at Cooperstown. And this will begin with Tim Raines just late last week.
This is my 10th year, my last year of eligibility, and the writers finally got it right. it was very emotional yesterday. You know, I was at home with my kids. I have twin daughters that are 6 years old, and my wife, and, you know, it's probably the first time I think anyone that's seen me that kind of emotional.
Being together with two good friends, even though that we never played together, but as a baseball player, we are like a family, you know, even though that we play against, you know, we respect each other.
I couldn't think about two better guys to be going in the Hall of Fame from that have done just so much for their clubs and their organizations just to you know, just make baseball better. And that's what we're in the business for.
I'm going to go in as a Texas Ranger. Yeah, I'm going to wear this Ranger hat. I know I played with five very good organizations in my career, which is if they let me, I will put all the hats if I can. But you have to go with one which is the majority amount of years that you play.
You know, I won two world championships in New York. Played in Chicago for 5 years. Played with Baltimore for a week. and I played in Miami. So, but, you know, my career started in Montreal. I spent 13 years there. And it's only fitting that I go in as an expo.
Just terrific stuff from all three guys. Again, a very big congratulations to Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, and Pudge Rodriguez. A couple of the former Marlins on that list. Congratulations to those guys. They'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame in the summer of 2017, just about 6 months from now. That's going to do it for us here at 940 Wins tonight. A big thank you to Roy Perez. And on behalf of Roy Perez, I'm Kyle Seeloff saying so long for the 940 Wins studio. We'll join you next Monday at 7 o'clock right here on your home for Marlins baseball, 940 Wins.